welcome to another discussion with one of our expert partners. Hope you enjoy it, and feel free to suggest other topics or ideas you would like us to discuss in the future. Hey, thanks for joining us again. Oh, always appreciate you coming on one of our videos, and really looking forward to hearing what your viewpoints are for this video series. It's an interesting topic that we're trying to do with this series. You know, we kind of go with AI's been around for years, then ChatGPT came on the scene and everyone was this AI expert. Then we get into agentic AI, and we just paused for a moment and thought, hold on a minute. Everyone has a tendency to lean into these things and want to not see like they're being left behind. But actually, are we ready? And it got me thinking that if you're running a bad hotel, AI is not going to make it a good hotel. So we thought what we do is we talk to guys like you and with your company, like Get Into More, who are very much at the forefront having these conversations to say, okay, let's kind of just take a step back and look at where hotels kind of need to be to make sure that if they join this AI evolution, that they can maximize it. So we've got some areas we're gonna dive into. We've got some questions to put to you. But before we get there, we're nearly halfway through the year. How's 2026 been for you so far?
So far, so good. It's been busy, and thanks again for inviting me to one of your talks. It's been busy, and we've been extremely busy with integrations. Integrations are the most difficult ones, but also the most rewarding ones when they are finished and good to go. So absolutely busy in a good way.
Good. Excellent. Well, let's not hold you up any longer then, and let's dive straight into the questions. So the first question we're starting off, kind of a broad one, sets the foundations. Yes. Hotel group approaches you, or through your reach out, you're in a discussion. How do you assess whether a hotel's current commercial operation is actually ready for AI? And this is like a two-pronged question. You know, you're kind of evaluating it, and through that evaluation process that you're doing, do you see common gaps or common areas that maybe, you know, people, it's just repetitive amongst hotels or hotel groups? Yeah. Over to you.
Yeah, I think because the whole AI world is like a buzz world now for the moment. Like, you know, it's buzzing all over, and it's been for some time, as you mentioned in the beginning. What we clearly see when we go in conversations with hotels is that there's two things to it. The first thing is actually there the readiness of the people to use it, because that is like, you know, I think that is step one. Whatever you have the flexibility or also the way to adopt in using another way of working and actually involving and also accepting that there is something else that is bit out of your comfort zone, most likely, that will be a part of your daily job in a way. Yep. So that is one thing. And if we look at it, and I'm not sure if it's cultural, it has nothing to do with where like hotels are geographically where they're at. It is more about eagerness of people working there, and that can be any sort of age. I think the eagerness is one of the things that really pops out, where you can see that when a team is eager to do better or eager to adjust their way of working, that is one thing. And of course, as long as what we see is the information that they are currently having, being it you know, on their pricing or on their statistics or on their performance, of course, it is best to have that in a certain data flow, which is correct, which is actualized daily or whatever it is, so that you have a base that can be trustworthy. And that trustworthy part is ideally when it comes to all the systems that are there, you know, in a tool. But of course, it could also be even, you know, for smaller properties in Excel, because if there's consistency in those Excel, so the readiness and the eagerness, that's one thing. And then, of course, how are you able to implement this AI layer? Because then it goes with, and hotels think it's going to be like, oh yeah, it's just plug and play, we just put it on. And that, of course, is a bit of a different story, because if you have your way of working, being it on a tool or on an Excel, but as long as your data is correct, if you have your way of working that is consistent and also updated in a very, very frequent way, then anything that you would like put your AI leverage over it will be good to do, to go for. And that is something that a lot of hotels, that's maybe a bit exaggerated, but there's quite some hotels that think they're ready, but they miss that accuracy layer. They are already, you know, eager to go, but then, you know, it's a bit like, yeah, but, you know, where do we actually pin it on? And what is then, in a way, also the how can we execute whatever we have pinned this AI layer on? So the readiness, I think, is there, but the base is a bit of work to be done in quite some cases, I would say.
So would it be fair, if I'm listening to what you say there, that we're looking at maybe three elements? So people, data, and processes? Would that be the operational processes?
That's a good one. Yeah.
And I guess that could be different from one hotel group that might have strong processes, clean data, but the team or leadership may not be as engaged, or it could be, you know, that one or the other is strong. Do you find there is a common, I seem to take through your answer an implication that, you know, maybe the people could be in the right kind of space, the data might be there or thereabout, but the processes and how it's working together and where this AI is actually going to fit in, maybe that's the gap that is most obvious. Would that be fair?
Partially, because I think also there within teams, you have always these front leaders that, you know, that take, that go up front and say, this is what we're going to be implementing and that's how we're going to go forward. And indeed, I think the data and the processes go a bit hand in hand, because the process of building the information where you want to put your AI layer or you want to involve AI into is crucial. But indeed, I think that the process and the data, in a way, is the biggest chunk actually to get done. I think the eagerness nowadays, I mean, if you ignore it, I think then you would be really not, you're a bit out of this world. I mean, if we talk about, like we had in the past, the RMSs with the price recommendations, you would sometimes wonder, where is it coming from?
Yeah.
And so the adoption is not as easy. And I think that's also a bit where there is the base was already started, you know, when we had these chatbots in the hotels about, replying to guests, and then also with the RMSs. So indeed, you're already familiar with the product, and now all of a sudden becomes also part of your daily job. And what is, I think, crucial in that way is that when the prompting, of course, is one thing. I mean, that's what you do privately. But then when you talk data with that system, it becomes a bit of a different story, because now all of a sudden there's revenues involved. There is something involved that will actually make maybe your strategy, or that could help you optimize one way or another. And the good thing with that one is, if these processes and also the data that you have are in place, it will be easier, and also a lot of the accuracy or the outcome will be something you or that the hotel could rely on.
Got you. Yeah. That lends us on a little bit then to almost the next two questions, because if we take the people out for the moment and we look at process, organization, and then we look at data, those are the two elements that, if we assume or accept that maybe the keenness is there, then the two other areas that we need to focus on is around the data and the processes. So let's the next question I want to ask you kind of comes back to that operational, the the old silo bit, the different teams, the interaction.
Yeah.
So let me ask it in a broad way to start with, and we can drill down. So when you're working with a hotel or in early discussions with a hotel, mm-hmm. in your experience, what does good, i.e. good as in ready to take the next step, what would that look like in a hotel's day-to-day commercial execution? You know, what kind of space do they need to be in to be operating efficiently before AI could make can be a meaningful added value on top?
I think first of all, there should be an organizational behavior that is aligned, and mm-hmm. that you would say, whatever we're going to be looking at is organized and you know, in the right direction on all levels. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, I mean, there's also the transparency of how we get the data in, we have the platform, and it looks really interesting and it looks good, and we're working on this one. But what is then super important is the ability to have the extra layer to read between the lines. And instead of having, you know, these systems that give you the recommendations, when we talk with hotels that have, like, you know, their data accuracy, they have quite some processes in line, and they would say, so what is the next step for me to actually optimize more? Mm-hmm. Is more about if they have the AI capacity of involving that and actually integrating that in their data, in their resources, and also in their way of working, is that instead of just looking at these numbers and taking their own conclusions, which is good, and making their own forecasts or commercial decisions or even, you know, just practical things for budgeting for next year or whatever it is that is on the program, if they would then have a data conversation based on their own data with the AI agent, or however you want to call it, depending a bit on how high level they're already integrating with AI, mm-hmm. then the willingness then to have these data conversations is key, because out of that one, you can get really what we have found out is that there will be some underlying trends or underlying aspects that we don't think about directly when we look at it with our own eyes and, you know, with our own experience, but that will pop up because of things. It could be, you know, even be room types or what you mentioned. It could be like F&B that is underperforming in certain parts of the month and then leading to a different segmentation. So there is a lot of aspects which is connecting dots that we don't actually for the moment, or not in the way that it should be based on our current data.
So having said we're going to leave people behind for the purpose of this conversation, we've got all of this data that we're connecting. Is there an area where there is a training need to kind of help people know what questions they should ask?
You're fully right. And we had a workshop with I think it was 20 hotels were on there. And it was not only the revenue manager, it was commercial finance, and I think even some owners there. So it was interesting to see that there is there's a couple of things that are happening with what you say. You know, how are we actually asking these questions? You know, are we directing them towards the answer I want to be getting? Or do we say, like, you know, shall we start like very, very an open question and see where the conversation goes? And the other thing that came in there was also that there is sometimes also a bit of, I would say, maybe not some aggressiveness against it, but also the fear of, am I losing my, not my job, but, you know, my
expertise. Value maybe, or yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And my expertise, is that still worth within? So yeah. these go a bit hand in hand. And then we had the discussions about this prompting. And And at the, you know, because like you say, if you ask what was my ADR yesterday, I mean, come on, that's going to be
That'd be
easy, right?
massive,
Yeah,
yeah.
right. But indeed, will I be able to reach my forecast for December 2026? It's a bit of a different story, of course. So,
And to your point, how is F&B affecting this? And should I look at different
exactly,
segmentation?
yeah.
That
So,
kind of question is,
yeah. So we had actually, for the basics, it's fairly easy. If you want to get something out of it, you know, just ask it and it will give you the answer straight away. But what we sort of concluded, if you want to have like something in depth, start really, really with open questions that could go a little bit anywhere. And let actually the conversation or the prompts that are sometimes also suggested to you through the AI, let that actually help and guide you without being sort of stubborn and saying, I want to go it this way. So
I got you.
Start open and then some things will pop up. And sometimes a conversation that went like all over the shop. How did we end up when we started with, say, what is my forecast for December? Look at your P&L from January this year, because something is maybe corresponding with those two, which, you know, we couldn't see, but we were able to see. So that was super interesting to have that conversation with, I think there were like 60 people at the time, and it was, and all of the 60 were like eager. So that was one thing.
Well, that's one of them.
But the eagerness could also become a bit of a hurdle because there was no structure anymore. And then also we said at a certain time, now we went all over. Now, what is the best way actually to look about the structure of the prompts that we did? So the conclusion was also, if we have these conversations and the AI agent or the AI layer that we had built should also help us structure these conversations, and that is also possible. And I must say, this was in February, and that is already now we have results from it that we can see that, you know, the guidance of the tool is actually a lot better than it was then.
That makes sense. It's quite funny. I was having this conversation about earlier today about AI, and I said it's quite amusing. It's almost like protein. It's like protein now is in every cereal because everyone wants protein. So it's like, and they could charge you more for it. So it's now everyone puts AI on something. It's like, oh, it's AI now.
AI,
so it's
AI,
like,
AI.
Oh, okay. So but it's only as good as the data, as we know. So let's dive into that. Mm-hmm. So how do you have a conversation when a hotel's data is more a reflection of poor processes rather than, you know, what's going on in the market and how the market's behaving, and how do you go about helping the hotel to recognize what can be done, and probably more importantly, what needs to be done before they think about committing to that AI aspect?
Yeah, so indeed. Well, the first are what we mentioned before. Whenever you have the data from your own property and you use that to, and that is set up in a very accurate way, that is step one, of course. Mm-hmm. And that is also now, I think, the beauty of integrations. Whenever we talk to hotels and they own, and we can tell and we can see that it is sort of a rigid way. This is how we work. This is how we get our data. And this is how we actually process it, you know, monthly, yearly, but in a way that the structure is always the same without taking into consideration a lot of, say, third-party integrations or third-party knowledge or third-party databases. Now, and that's the beauty nowadays, either of AI or integration, that can be modified easily. But indeed, it is also a turning point where you would say, fine, you have your data there and it's really, really good and your comparison to last year, but how do you actually, what is your position market-wise, could be, or region-wise, or however, whatever it is, what do you have as market knowledge? And there's a lot of systems out there nowadays that have integrations that actually come on top of your normal hotel data layer, which you can then easily combine with your strategies and saying, you know, it's the benchmarking about the marketing, about pricing, about events, you name it. There's a lot that you can actually take in consideration, but also what is happening on demand level. And I think that demand level part is something that needs to, because that's not really if in your PMS data, right? Yep. But you would need to have some sort of and convincing in the process that they would take that into consideration exactly now, because there is a lot of demand information you can incorporate with the help of AI. Mm-hmm. And I think that part, there's again with that same group we had the discussion, they were really already far ahead of it. And then you could tell, you know, they look at what is happening in city X and city Y, when are events there, and they combine it and see not only for the next months but also 24 months out there what is happening. When we see that they don't have that approach yet and really only look at sort of like micro instead of macro, if they look at micro, it is always good to do it in baby steps and say, okay, well, first of all, you have this micro now, but you know what would be good is interesting to see what is the pricing for your competition and yourself for the next whatever it is. And that's an easy step to lead into the next step, so that they are convinced about the value of another integration, so to say. And that can be anything, right? I mean, there's so many things out of the market now. And even now you could give them an example with something you would upload in an AI agent, say, this is what we've just sort of taken from the market, be it a demand calendar or whatever, in Excel, simple Excel, just put it in there and put it against your forecast, for instance, and then see what it's like. Convincing is easier now.
Okay.
Because it's in your face.
That makes a lot of sense. Is there, thinking about data sets, is there any particular telling signs that would be a red flag to you that the underlying process within the hotel is broken?
Yeah, I mean, if you would say, or if you could see from the data that is used that the, you know, that the hotel is performing in a good way versus last year, for instance. But when we see that, there's two things actually there. When you see on total, because mainly there was looking always on room revenue side.
Yeah.
But then if you incorporate then the total revenue side, there's a couple of things that, if that's not taken in consideration, I think that's a flag to say, why are we not looking at the full picture here? Because mm-hmm. you know, that is also something that is quite important, because of the fact that there's revenue streams that are not looked after. Mm-hmm. And well, the benchmarking thing, or at least the it's quite wide, because it's not only because that also there we have the possibility to see, you know, with any sort of benchmarking program, how is my occupancy, what's my ADR, and you sort of, you know, cross reference there. But I think it would be a really red flag to have to process data on a way that you would only do it on your own data. And if there's things that are out of the ordinary, that if you don't have the good answers to these exceptions, what is happening there, you know, the highs, the lows, because you're only looking at your own data. If you can't explain it in a data way, or in a that you don't have the right data or analytics to back it up, that would be a red flag to say, okay, well, you know, it's good that you're doing very well, but what is the reason? And when you're not doing so good, what is the reason, and why would you be able, or how could you be able to do better?
Yeah, that makes sense. One final question on the data front before we move on and kind of try and summarize this. Yeah. If you were to go and look at a hotel, because as you said, without using the rude words, rubbish in, rubbish out mm-hmm. for data. Mm-hmm. If the hotel's historical data is compromised, does that mean it's an absolute no-go?
I think that it's always better to have something, because even in the data or the historical information, even if it's compromised, there should be some sort of logic or trend in there. I mean, there's always something that sort of returns. Now, ideally, sometimes you would say, okay, we're going to break it and say, you know, start from scratch in a way.
Yeah.
And then there is no comparison to the past.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad? I would say if you really are fixed on the future and you want to do things correctly, I'd rather say you cut and start over.
Yeah,
because, I mean, how would you know what is wrong from the past, or how would you actually, or wrong, what is maybe not tracked correctly? If I see sometimes when
you're making decisions without maybe a full set of information, aren't you? So it's like, you don't know what's missing, what's compromised, what isn't there.
Yeah, and you can't give it the correct guidance neither. I mean, you can, again, if you would say, yeah, but we'll use AI to help me fix it. But then again, you would be feeding with your assumptions what needs to be fixed, which is maybe not the case.
So you'd just be compounding the problem.
It's sort of, you think, oh, I've got it fixed. But then again, and I think you're always steering it also into a certain direction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cut the chase, so to say, would be best, in my opinion. It's the roughest way. But we can see with some hotels, you know, they said as well, like, and it goes sometimes hand in hand with a tech stack. They would say, okay, we're going to be changing any sort of PMS because of the fact that it is, you know, legacy systems. And that is also sometimes the moment to sort of say, okay, we've got the past data, but now we're going to be working in a different way, with a new tech stack and with also a new vision on it. And on the long run, that will help. And you will, I think even now, historical data, you're not only looking at last year, you can also look at last month in a way. Yeah. I mean, that is also something in our mind that we also have to compare same time on the books last year. And then it's fine, right? But it's not the holy grail neither.
Yeah. Yeah. We've moved on a bit since that was the be all and end all, wasn't it?
Exactly. I mean, your pricing cannot be compared to June 26th to June 25th. You know, if you'd have the Olympics, difference.
You're making the wrong decisions, aren't you?
Yeah, and then you get these conversations, especially in commercials. Yeah, but remember last year we had these 3 days, and then you go on and on and on forever. So, that's not helpful.
Perfect. Let me ask you the last question, then we'll let you go, because I'm conscious you are busy. And this kind of is maybe a wrapping up. So if you need to take a moment just to kind of
get my thoughts to
do your own AI and put your thoughts together.
Let me just type here on the right hand side quickly.
Exactly. So, okay. So hotel group comes to you today, asks to engage with you, have a conversation, but wants you to just kind of say, are we in the right place? Mm-hmm. So, you know, almost a readiness assessment before they get into that conversation. What would be the things that you would be looking at to say, yes, okay, I think we're ready to have that further conversation, or no, you're not quite yet. These are the areas we need to focus on. If you need them, as you say.
No. I prepared a little bit on this one. So I have a couple of notes on my that I've noted here. And I think for me, it's threefold in a way. The first thing is the data integrity, so that you really have whatever is there, it is there and is there to stay. And it's the source, the single sort of truth is maybe a little bit harsh, but data integrity, that's one thing.
Yeah.
And then decision-making behavior, because if there is, I mean, it's a bit like we did with the RMSs, right? There was price recommendations. Were you going to follow it? Or were you going to say, well, I know better, right? So I don't know, I'm going to override this price. So that decision behavior based on whatever you get, are you ready to sort of make or let the decisions be taken for you? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the third part goes a bit hand in hand. It's the execution consistency. Mm-hmm. So whatever, I mean, you cannot say one day I'm going to believe it, the next day, no, and so on and so on, because then it's like with the data accuracy, you have execution inaccuracy in a way. So I think these three parts when I talk to, you know, hotels, it can be any sort of business actually. Those would be the base of to see, are you ready for this? Yes or no? If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there one of those three that would be a more common or?
I think that in the end, the decision-making behavior is, because you really put your hands and your fate is maybe a big word, but but we're talking about money here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the success
of your hotel.
Yeah, it's not the chatbot that would say, where can I have dinner this evening? And it will send a guest to a restaurant and then he comes back, I didn't like the dinner. Well, okay, yeah. Not good, but okay, fine. But indeed now, especially when you're talking about asking a group displacement, for instance, well, should I take this group? Yes or no? Money is involved. And I think if you look at, well, what we said before, you have the prompts, obviously, but if your decision-making behavior is always sort of in the way that you think, okay, I understand why this is done. I'm going to decide it's a good whatever outcome and I move forward to it. I think that will be key. And also the most difficult one, because I think the data integrity and also, I mean, the consistency is sort of okay, but really putting yourself out there and saying, okay, I trust this. I think we all have challenges with it. I mean, in the beginning of ChatGPT, they also said, oh, well, let's double check it. Is it true what it said? I mean, yes or no? I think we've moved past that one already and say, okay, trustworthy, good to go, here to stay. And let's make it part of our daily life, privately, but also professionally.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess the interesting thing, just picking up on that last point about the ChatGPT when we questioned it, is because we didn't know where the source of information was coming from.
Yeah.
When you're talking in the context of this discussion, the source of information is coming from your hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
So back to that, if you have good data, good data integrity, clean data, then you know the source of that data is reliable and trustworthy. So then you... By nature, that decision making should have a greater degree of trust inherently within it, because you know the source of that information and how that's making those decisions.
Yeah, and the good thing in a way as well, I mean, this is maybe a bit technical, but if within your organization you have people that are really into it and also could look a bit at, you know, the technical part, the coding side, you could also see how it has been built up. And then, of course, the engagement and also the trustworthiness is a bit bigger, because we've seen it, you know, when we had, I think there was another workshop when there was also a couple of developers there and they put the chat and then they put also how then the coding was done and how it was coming to that answer. And that, of course, is also sometimes, I mean, you're not supposed to do that all the time, because then, you know, then, but if you see how that is done and how fast it is done and how accurate it has been doing, then all the mystery around it.
It's that transparency builds trust, doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I think that was also an eye-opener for myself. I was like, I think that was like 2 years ago. I was like, what? And it was so fast. You're like, I can't even follow what is happening there. But when they explained it to us a bit step for step, I was like, okay, I get it. And like you said, also then the data that gets in has to be correct, because otherwise the whole story falls apart.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Exactly. Very always enjoyable talking with you. But I really appreciate those insights.
Likewise.
And thank you for doing some prep on that as well.
It was good to get my head around it.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Trevor.
Take care.
Thank you for listening, and I hope the conversation was of interest. Please do feel free to suggest any topics you would like discussed in the future. We're always open to ideas. Thank you once more. And I hope you will join us again. Goodbye for now.